It's The Record with Marcy Silman. I'm Steve Scher. I've served on a jury. It was one of the two great things I've done as a citizen, the other one voting. But jury duty was amazing. Perhaps you've served on a jury and you found it amazing as well, or perhaps you've never wanted to become a juror. You should do it, though it is a sobering experience. Anna Roberts is a professor of law at Seattle University. She says there are a few things that everyone should know about jury duty before they report. We talked in the studio. I asked her what was the most important thing that someone should know before they show up for jury duty.
That it's a vital task that they're fulfilling. There's very, very few ways that citizens can have a direct impact on our systems of government. And sitting on a jury is one. You literally can hold someone's life in your hands.
It is an awesome moment when you realize that's the truth. Because otherwise you see it on television. People don't really, then you really are there. It's important that you understand what's going on.
Yes, and that if you get to sit on a jury, you're seeing a tiny fraction of the number of criminal cases or civil cases that get decided in our courts. Most of our cases are decided by plea bargain or by settlement and never get to that position where it's 12 ordinary folks off the street deciding how the case will end.
Why is that important, 12 ordinary folks off the street deciding a case?
Because our government has not always done the right thing. And we've set up the jury as a check against overzealous prosecutors, against biased judges, and a chance for the community to weigh in and say, do they like the facts and do they like the law?
One of the things you've been thinking about is this idea of implicit bias. What is that?
Implicit bias is something that sadly we all carry around with us. And even though we may explicitly or on a conscious level renounce bias, may believe in fairness and equality and all races and groups being treated equally, most of us, it turns out, carry around with us without realizing it certain stereotypes and certain attitudes toward racial or gender groups that can impair fairness and can impair the fairness of juries.
So if we take it seriously, how do we identify our own biases?
More and more effort and thought is being put into this. There's now a sophisticated tool called the implicit association test that if you have the desire to go on the internet and try out, will give you a sense of some of the biases you carry around without realizing it, whether it be race, gender, or ethnicity.
So if I take that test, I get called as a juror, what do I do with that information? How do I use that to do better?
Well, one thing that I urge in my scholarship is that courts themselves should do a little bit with this research. When you show up as a juror to court, you're told very little about bias at all, and you're told nothing about implicit bias. One of the things I'm urging is that when jurors gather in the courthouse, when they're given their orientation, they should be told something about this science.
What should they be told?
They should be told that even if you explicitly believe in fairness, it's possible that without knowing it, your brain is playing tricks with you. And particularly the science has shown that in the case of race, folks are vulnerable to unfair juries. Many, many people implicitly associate, for example, African Americans with increased level of danger. And when you come to a case where jurors are deciding whether a violent charge has or has not been proven beyond a reasonable doubt against an African American, that's very, very threatening to a fair jury.
So I have to ask myself, am I doing this at each step in the process?
Ideally, yes. Both individually and in their deliberations, jurors would be thinking to themselves, would I see this defendant the same way if this defendant were of a different race or of a different gender? It's been called in some writing the notion of switching. Juror switching has been advocated, where folks should try and switch the jurors, switch the race, switch the gender, and figure out if they would come out the same way under those circumstances.
Seattle University Law Professor Anna Roberts is telling us about some of the things we should know when we get the summons to be on the jury and decide to do it rather than avoid it. Another thing you highlight is jury discrimination. What's that?
Well, there's two types of jury discrimination. There's discrimination by jurors and there's discrimination against jurors. One thing that's been in the news a great deal in our state recently is discrimination by attorneys against jurors as they pick the jurors that they want to sit at that trial. There's been a recent case from the Washington Supreme Court called St. Cal, in which several of our state Supreme Court justices said, we think there's a big problem with the rate at which attorneys are deciding who to keep on juries based on race, and we don't think the law is doing enough to guard against that.
So they had some data to back that up, their concerns?
They had data and they had an enormous amount of anecdotal evidence, including attorneys, both prosecutors and defense attorneys, admitting that, yeah, they still do, despite not being allowed by the Constitution to do so, they still choose jurors in part based on race and ethnicity.
Strategic, right, on their part?
Yes, they have some statistics to back up their decisions. There are some indications that your race statistically is going to affect how you come out in jury decision making.
Right. So what does the court think prosecutors and defense attorneys should do to deal with this kind of discrimination?
The courts want prosecutors and defense attorneys not to factor race, gender, or ethnicity into their decisions. It's a violation of the Equal Protection Clause. But many attorneys would say, how can we, for example, defense attorneys would say, how can we zealously advocate for our clients if we know that race statistically makes a difference? Surely we have an ethical duty to our clients to choose the jurors we think will give us the best shot at winning. But what the court would say and what the Supreme Court has said is attorneys should not factor this into their decision making.
If a person is called and dismissed, do they have legal recourse if they want to claim they've been discriminated against?
In theory, their constitutional rights have been violated. One thing that the Supreme Court said in the key case in this area, the case of Batson versus Kentucky, is that it's not just a criminal defendant's rights that are violated by discrimination in jury selection, it's also the juror's right. But it's been very hard for them to get recourse. It's been hard for them to make their voices heard. It's been hard for them to know who to talk to. And there's a push for there to be a greater presence of court watchers, folks who show up in court to monitor jury selection, to be there if potential jurors want to make a claim that they've been discriminated against. Right now, it's hit and miss.
Are there NGO-type groups that do that now?
There's been an amazing report on jury discrimination by something called the Equal Justice Initiative based in Alabama. They located jurors who felt certain that they'd been removed from jury service because of their race. There was one woman who lived in a particular county in Mississippi for a decade, who'd held the same job for 6 years and was removed from the jury by the prosecutor who said she didn't have ties to her community. Well, she was African American. She noted the number of African Americans who'd been removed from jury service. She felt convinced that she knew why this had happened to her.
Hmm. You know, the flip side of that is jurors on a jury may feel a law isn't being applied properly or feel it's unfair that somebody's being charged with a crime, even though it is a crime, jury nullification.
Yes.
Does that happen? And is that sort of the jurors taking power?
It does happen, and it is the jurors taking power. A lot of folks say it should potentially happen more often. We still criminalize extremely, extremely heavily in this country. We have, what, 2.2 plus million people locked up. And there's a push, at least among some scholars and activists, for more potential jurors to be told exactly what nullification is, which is deciding not to follow the evidence or not to follow the law because you think you're following some higher law, whether it be conscience or morality or ethics. So there's a push among some scholars and activists to get the word out that you have this power as a juror. You can acquit in spite of the evidence.
They want the word out so they can, that jurors can know they can not follow the judge's rules, the rules of the courts?
Some do. Obviously, judges don't. And judges have said, we understand jurors have this power, but we as courts certainly aren't going to, on the one hand, say, apply the facts to the law, and on the other hand, say, and you can ignore the facts and the law if you want. No, judges will never be doing it. But many distinguished scholars think that the public should know they have this power.
Anna Roberts teaches law at Seattle University. Underlying this is this notion that we want a diverse jury. Why is diversity good for a jury?
The social scientists have shown us that diverse juries do a better job than all-white juries, for example, in a number of key areas. They deliberate for longer. They ask more questions about the evidence. They make fewer errors. So we have a great deal of work to do, and the science suggests that it's extremely important work in diversifying our jury pools and diversifying our juries. You have the ability, if you get summoned to jury service, you have the ability to say to the court, listen, it's really hard for me to serve. It's hard financially. It may be hard emotionally. It may be hard practically. And I understand that people sometimes need to do that. But I'd urge them, to realize that if it's difficult for them to serve, it's particularly vital for them to serve. If our juries are made up entirely of folks for whom it's easy and comfortable and cost-free and no sweat and fun to sit there in judgment against someone else, if that's who's making up our juries, then we're not getting the diverse body of experience that we need in order to bring about justice.
Fun. I don't know if I'd call it fun.
Some find it fun. In fact, studies show that if you get through jury selection and actually serve, mostly it's a rewarding experience and, in fact, encourages folks to seek out more opportunities for civic involvement.
That I understand. Have you ever served on a jury?
I haven't. For one reason or another, I've always been found inappropriate.
Oh, you've been called?
I've gotten there. I've answered my questions. Somehow they think I'm not fit. It's a great sadness to me.
Next time you get called, you'll still go?
I'll show up every time. I'll request to serve every time.
That's Anna Roberts, who teaches law at Seattle University. You can find a link to the implicit bias test she mentioned at our website, kuow.org. And yeah, I would just reiterate, if you get the summons, don't worry about it. It is a fascinating experience. This is The Record.